Ephesians. We're in chapter 5. We're looking at the Christian's holy life. Their spiritual life is supposed to be holy. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We're taking our time going through these subjects because they're not just things to learn. These are truths that have to be implemented, that have to be integrated into our life. And it takes a while before the truths sink in. And I, just to tell you the truth, I just enjoy studying it. I get so much out of spending time studying. And I guess I'm kind of like the great cook in the kitchen. You know why, if I were a cook, you know why I would like to cook? Because I get to eat it all along. I get to sample and taste it. You know, when I'm getting the chance to study, I get the benefit of that study first. And so you can always tell something that I'm enjoying, just because I love to just stay in it and just keep preaching on it or whatever. So I'm enjoying this study. We're talking about particularly walking in the Spirit. God bless you. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, and be not drunk with wine. Ephesians 5:18, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Then he lists some things. He says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You can tell when somebody's filled with the Spirit. You can tell when they're singing to the Lord or they're putting on a show. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Continuing on, verse 21, probably the hardest verse of it, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now, those three verses deal with the prohibition of drink and drunkenness. Wine has excess in it. You start messing with it, it messes with you. Just like pornography. Pornography, by its very nature, will ruin you. Amen? You can't moderately mess with it any more than you can moderately mess with a riot. Or that you can moderately mess with murder. You can't moderately murder anyone. Amen? Do you understand? So the excess is in the wine. And the Bible prohibits the Christian from drinking and especially from getting drunken. There's a lot of confusion, and we already talked about these things about being filled with the Spirit. What do most people think a person will do if they're filled with the Spirit? When I say most, it's because of the influence of the charismatic. Sorry. Speak in tongues, is that what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Speak in tongues. That is the proof that you're filled with the Spirit. That is the furthest thing from the truth. The confusion is, the moment you were saved, you were baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ. He took you out of being in sin and put you in Christ. And the moment He did, He moved into your heart and He waits to fill up your day and your hours with His thoughts. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. Neither are my ways your ways. But believe me, He wants to teach you His ways. He wants to give you the mind of Christ. Amen? So, there's a lot of confusion about it, so I'm trying to sort of lay some groundwork and make sure some things are very simple and firm in your mind. If somebody's saved, what can they say? They can say, I have the Holy Spirit of God. That is, end of story, you have God's Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you're not saved. Okay? He is the seal. He is the proof that you're going to get into heaven. Not some prayer you prayed, but some yielding you did when He moved into your life. So, we ask somebody, when does a Christian get baptized with the Holy Spirit and when does he get filled? That's what we've answered over the last few weeks. You get baptized the moment you got saved. And you get filled on a moment-by-moment basis. The command to be filled with the Spirit is where we're focusing. It is absolutely necessary for a Christian to be filled with the Spirit. Not just be saved, not just have fire insurance, but it is absolutely imperative that we be filled with the Spirit. Let's see. It is a command when he says in Ephesians 5:18, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, is a command just as authoritative, just as important as thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet. Now, there's no growing without being filled with the Holy Spirit. You ever taken a plant and you haven't put water in it for 6 weeks? Guess what that plant's going to do? He's going to die. But if you put a good more portion of water in there, no matter what the heat and no matter what situation, that plant will thrive because it's constantly soaking up. It's constantly trying to fill up with that water and the nutrients. Now, when to be filled with the Spirit simply means to give Him freedom to occupy every part of your life. Name me a part of your life. I know it's kind of bad, but let me give you one of them. Your mind. Right. He ought to fill your mind with right thoughts. Amen? What other areas do we have that He ought to occupy and fill up? Somebody tell me. Raise your hand. Yes, sir?
The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost is Christ's witness.
Right.
And that's what the Holy Spirit is there
for. Yes.
To manifest that in our lives as we be and give Him every doubt in our lives.
Yes.
Every believer has the Holy Ghost. The problem is, does the Holy Ghost
have us? Amen. So where are some areas that the Holy Spirit needs to occupy in my life? Yes, sir?
About praying in the Holy Ghost.
All right. In my prayer time. He ought to be dominant, not me. You know, we're like spoiled brats coming to God telling Him what we want. Yes, sir? Good. How so? He should direct our path, should take us out, go soul winning. What other area should the Holy Spirit dominate and take control of?
Are you taking your actions?
Okay, my actions.
Okay. How you react to people.
Ooh, okay. So my actions and my reactions. Mona?
Your heart.
Your heart. Amen. He should fill up your heart so that your heart, no matter how grieved, no matter how low, no matter how depressed, no matter how excited, whether we live, Paul says, or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Amen? Marlene, did you have your hand up?
The Ten Commandments. We should consecrate them and keep the Ten Commandments.
Okay. Well, good. I found that it's impossible for my flesh to keep the Ten Commandments, but when I'm walking in the Spirit, it's easy. It's easy. So, Tony, did you have your hand up, or did I see somebody else? All right. These are areas the Holy Spirit should be free to work in. How about your future? Should He be free to say, I don't want you to do such and such. I've got another plan. How about your past? Should He be free to say, I was working there too. You just didn't notice me. You know, when we let Him dominate, it sure does make life a whole lot easier. Amen? Now, the concept of being filled with something. I talked to you last week about we understand this when we compare it to somebody being filled with drink, when being filled with alcoholic beverages. I know that they have this idea that they just drink moderately and they just, you know, they just have a few marijuana or cannabis cigarettes and all of these things. But you know what? They're not being honest with you because you haven't seen them when they've been on a binge. And you've seen somebody who's been filled with drink. And you've seen somebody who's been filled with anger. You've seen when your own, you can look back at your life and see how your own life was filled with your own ways. You've seen it when people were filled with envy. What do they say about the Pharisees? Pilate himself figured out. He says it was for envy that they had delivered Jesus to be crucified. They were filled with envy. And it's nice to be filled with love. Amen? You read Song of Solomon and you see two people totally consumed with passion and love for each other. Now, so to be consumed, controlled by substance. I think that's why God chose drink. He says, you know, when somebody gets drunk, guess what they're doing? They're losing control, aren't they? But that drink doesn't give them any benefit at all, does it? They may think that, oh, this is better. No. Give it 10 hours. Let's see if it's still better. Amen? But the moment that you yield control to the Holy Spirit, I'll give you one guess whether you're better off or not. Much better. Amen. Do you know drink changes you? Did you know that? If Bill, if I ever see you drunk, I'm killing you. But if Bill ever got drunk, would you recognize and go, Bill, that's not you. Bill, I've never seen you. Bill, this is out of character, correct? The drink will change him. Did you know the Holy Spirit will change you too?
Amen.
Amen? You cannot be the same if you are filled with drink, and you cannot be the same if you are filled with the Spirit. So, we're talking about the conflict being filled is to be consumed or controlled by, to be overwhelmed. That, like that broken alabaster box I said last week, when they broke that alabaster box, the body odor of everybody in that room disappeared. It overwhelmed. It filled the room. Amen? Our old life, our flesh, is totally filled with evil. I know you don't want to admit it, but you know every time you read that Bible, it says, Paul says to Titus, in the book of Titus, he says that when Jesus comes back, he will change. Are you ready for this? Yada, put this as one of those verses right next to the mirror in the morning when you're looking at it. Who shall change our vile bodies? What a strong verse, amen. Job, and all of his best efforts, all of his own righteousness, you know what he said when he finally faced off with God? Guess what he said? I am vile. That's a big word. So, the goal of the Christian should be to become full of all the fullness of God. To be full of all the spiritual fruits. How many fruits are there?
Nine.
Now I bet you there's somebody you love. I bet you there's somebody that you enjoy, you have joy with. I bet there are times when you're at peace. Amen? You ever heard about the parents saying, our children are angels, and then they wake up. There are times when you're at peace. Amen? There are times long-suffering, actually, will put up with other people. The key is to be filled with it so that you're constantly filled with love, joy, peace, long-suffering. And you should be full of the Spirit of God. These are four things that are noted in your New Testament. Now, how to get filled? That's our goal. How to get filled and stay filled with God's Spirit. First of all, last week I said seek it. I'm going to change it to a P word just for fun. Pursue it. You read in there, in the book of Psalms, David actually, he says, I am pursuing you. I want to know what it's like to be with your likeness, David cries out. Then you've got Paul in Philippians. He says, brethren, I have not apprehended. Now, what's the word apprehended mean?
Caught.
I like that. Take hold of. What is Paul trying to catch? The Lord Jesus Christ. He says that I may win Christ. Unique phrase. Incredible concept. He says, my life, I'm trying to apprehend. I want to finally get to the place where I and Christ are one. Amen? He says, I haven't apprehended it yet, but I'm hot on his trails. That's cool. Amen? Pursue. So last week we talked about pursuing with all our energy, pursuing being filled. It's just like a drunk who, when he gets it in his head, when a little chemical switch goes on, and all he can do, like a Frankenstein, is head into the pub because he's addicted to it. He is seeking it. He can't think of anything else except that drink. Wouldn't it be nice if that person got transformed so all he could think about is the Holy Spirit of God taking control of his life and the Lord Jesus Christ being glorified by his life? So first thing you got to do, as we talked about last week, is to hunger for God. Now the second thing we're going to talk about tonight is to purge. This is much harder. Much harder. And really, it's one thing to seek, amen? It's one thing to want. Let's give an illustration, alright? Here's a guy, he's single. And he just can't get a date. He shouldn't be, but I'm using an illustration, amen. He just can't get a date. And somebody sits down and says, you know what your problem is? I'll give you one word, deodorant. Just a thought here for a minute. He says, you mean all this time, girls don't want to sit next to me, girls don't want to talk to me, because, no, there's another thing, toothpaste. Now, what is my crude illustration? My crude illustration is this, all right? If it's one thing to seek God and then not find Him, and to find out there's something wrong with us. Is there something wrong with God? When we pray and He doesn't answer, is it God's problem?
No.
No, it's mine. So, you ought to, I think most people don't have the filling of the Spirit primarily because they don't want it. They don't think it's important. They don't think that it is that vital energy that has to be in their life or they're going to die. They don't believe that. But after they want it, just like that young man trying to get a date, he's got to be willing to do what it takes to get somebody to notice him. Amen?
Amen.
And a Christian has to do something called purge. Let's take our Bibles, look at some scriptures. 2 Timothy 1, 2:21. 2 Timothy 2:21. Right, 2 Timothy 2:21. I'll work from the back forward. Let's see. St. Paul. 2 Timothy 2:21. Amen. Now he says the things that you ought to purge yourself from are worthless items in your life. Things that if you had a cat or a dog, you probably had a feeding dish, yes or no? Alright. Now what is that feeding dish only good for? The cat or the dog. End of story. Amen. Not for the husband. Are you listening, ladies? Okay. You heard about the guy who was asking forgiveness from his wife. She says, no problem. You know, they got into a fight. He says, do you forgive me? Oh, yeah, I forgive you last week. Really? Really? Yes. No, I had no problem with forgiving you. I've been able to go on. Really? Thank you. That's very sweet of you. That's very good of you. And she said, that's okay. I've just been using your toothbrush to clean the toilet with for the last week. Oh, man. Don't get any ideas. The point is this. If we're like that cat bowl, all right? If we want to be used for something more, what would you do with that cat bowl? If you wanted to elevate that cat bowl to a punch bowl or to a cereal bowl, what would you do with that cat bowl? You would sanitize, you'd melt it down, and you would purge out anything that related to the cat. Amen? Or the dog. You're not true. Alright. So that's the same thing of the concept that we're trying to... I need to look at myself and go, what is there that is hindering the fullness of the Holy Spirit? Something that's blocking Him filling me. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7 now. Back to the left. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. Here's our key word again. The Apostle John in the back. He's actually, never mind. 1 John 5, 7. I said 1 John. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. He is our 1 John, amen. Please. 1 Corinthians 5, 7. No, that's in verse 5. Verse 7. Lump. Alright, here you have a lump of dough. And he's comparing it to Christians. He says, make sure that your bread dough, make sure your fellowship, make sure all of you together has no leaven in it. Amen? We welcome everybody. Amen? But we don't want people to stay the same. The phrase that has been, that is really the best, is enter as you are, come as you are, but leave as He is. Amen? So we need to purge out the old, what's leaven compared to in the Bible? Sin. It's yeast. It affects the dough. Oh, it makes it full of air. We don't want a church full of hot air. We want it full of pride and full of self. Keep it simple, flat. I don't care if we don't have... There were years we had no music. Remember that? I tried with an accordion. I'm trying to do this thing. Put that thing down. Everybody was leaving. It was terrible. Amen. But you know, I'd rather have a flat, empty kind of worship style if I could just have the power of God. Amen. And have the truth and the preaching of the Word of God. So, purge out any leaven that we may be unleavened, that we may have a pure lump. Now, 2 Corinthians 7:1. Let's go to the right again. Leon, do you remember how to read in English? Well, better learn quick. 2 Corinthians 7:1.
Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
My question. Who's in charge of cleaning up my life? Me. Now, can I do it alone? No. But I'm in charge of picking up my life. If a man therefore shall purge himself from these things, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Amen? If there would be a spiritual inventory where I would find things that are blocking the fullness of the Holy Spirit in my life, and if I would purge it. You know what purge means? Let me give you the vernacular. Flush. Amen? Aren't you glad your toilet has an out? Amen? You wouldn't stay in the house that didn't have an out. Amen? I hope I don't have to go any further.
Please don't.
Please don't. Amen. Purge, which means we let a lot of stuff back up. Somebody told us when we moved into our house, they didn't tell us before we moved in. They told us after we moved in. And Brother Dennis, you might have known about this because it was before our time. But they built houses back behind us. And the sewerage that was put in there in Westcourt Heights was built for Westcourt. There are two estates in our estate. There's Westcourt and Westcourt Heights. Now there's three. All right? There's a back group as well. So, and when they were building the new houses, all of a sudden, you're not going to like what I'm about to say, but it's a great illustration. All of a sudden, the sewage from up at the top of the hill was coming out at the bottom of the hill. You wouldn't stay there very long, and you'd want it fixed real quick, wouldn't you? Why do we allow stuff to back up in our hearts and stay in our hearts that only defiles us? Amen? Why do we keep records? Why do we let the devil keep such filth in our lives? Why don't we just what? Flush. Purge. Say, bye-bye, I'm not remembering you anymore. Amen? 1 John 3:3, to the right. 1 John. Almost to Revelation. 1 John 3:3, Michaela. Can you read? Good. She went to school. John
3:3.
Now the hope is I'm going to heaven. And if I've got the hope of heaven, do you think that somebody, do you really think that the Holy Spirit would put inside of you that because you're going to heaven, now I can live in sin?
No.
Would the Holy Spirit actually put that inside the believer? No. Every man that has this hope of going to be with Jesus, guess what we do? We clean. You know, ladies are getting ready to go to this ladies retreat. You know, as they get closer and closer, do you know what most ladies are going to do? They're going to clean house. They're going to organize and pack. They're going to be getting ready for the trip. Amen? And you know, I'm telling you, I'm saved 27 years. The closer I get, the more I want to pack. Amen? To heaven. And there's just this desire. I love being clean. Now, purging is this. A removal of anything that takes the place of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's purging. And it's the hardest part of the process because we've gotten used to things as they are. Amen? You hear about the husband and wife and he's sitting there in the old couch. It's 58 years old. She says, let's go dump this thing. Dump it! It fits perfectly, you know? Guys don't change, do we? Amen? We like things just the way they are. Nod your head, ladies. You know it. We like things the way they are. But you know, that also transfers into the spiritual realm. We're hard to change, aren't we? My wife saying amen inside with a shout. The hardest part is because we're used to ourselves and we don't know how to take a look at ourselves and be willing to pay the price to clean up our act so the Holy Spirit has more of us. So, let's talk about some principles and truths. As last week I used a simple cup, let me just teach you some things. Number one, the Holy Spirit, I know it's deep, are you ready? He's the Spirit. That means He's like air. And I gave you an illustration, I'm not going to do anything more than just take and just pretend like this is a cup. Right now, did you know that? Cup is full. Did you know that? It is perfectly full of air. Did you know that? It looks empty to you and I, but it is completely filled up with air. And I'm going to change your way of thinking. Now, I want to be filled with the Spirit. God is a Spirit, isn't He? Alright. So if I'm going to be filled with the Spirit, and I come along and I take milk, and I pour milk in there, where's the air going to go?
Out.
Now if I want to be filled with air, what do I have to do with the milk? Get rid of the milk. The milk displaces the Spirit. We think the Holy Spirit, boy, He's going to put up a fight. No, sir. When the Lord Jesus, He's outside, and in a church there in Revelation chapter 3 called the Church of Laodicea, they've gotten so full of themselves, materialism, their own ways. Jesus is outside the church. He's been squeezed out and He's knocking to come back in. He has been displaced. And you can displace, you can push out His fullness. You can't get rid of the seal, but you can reduce His work. So, the Holy Spirit is like a spirit. Is the Spirit, sorry. Like air is. It is natural for believers to be filled with God's Spirit. Are you writing this down? It is normal. It is easy. It is almost automatic to be filled with the Spirit. How many of you have ever opened up there's something wonderful about opening a bag. It's not really a jar, but it's like opening a bag of fresh coffee. That aroma. And when you open it, there's this, what's happening? Do you know what's happening? It's not the explosion of something coming out. It's the rush of air in. Amen? And when it does, it throws all of this wonderful aroma out. Now, when I got saved, my spirit, before I got saved, was empty. It was a vacuum. And no matter what I put in it, drink, drugs, anger, depression, memories, it never satisfied. But the moment I got saved, the Holy Spirit naturally filled me. Wasn't it true? When you got saved, didn't you want to read your Bible every day? Do you remember when you got saved? You wanted to be in church every day. My church, the secretary of my church got mad at me one day. Because I drive up there and I said, boy, I wish church was on today. I had driven from home. It's about 3 miles. I mean, it wasn't that bad. But I drove, I was just bored, and I drove up to church. And one of the guys was mowing the grass, and he didn't need my help. He was almost finished with it. I had finished school. And I drove up to church, and I went up there, and I went in, and it was a hot summer Texas day. And I went in, and the secretary was there, and nobody's on the phone or anything. So I just leaned over to the counter, and I said, man, I wish we had church today. And she looked over. Now, she was having a bad day, maybe. I don't know. She said, are you kidding? I can't wait to go home. I was newly saved. Amen? You understand? So what was going on? I was naturally, as soon as the lid came off, I was filled with the Spirit. Do you understand? So let me go on. Let me pick this thought and carry it through. God wants to fill every believer. Do you understand? And it is a process that God initiates and He seeks to complete on a moment-by-moment basis. You and I are simply, now the word is vessel, or let's use a modern word, a container. My spirit, now actually, I wish I had three of them, I don't, but actually I have three containers. A body, a soul, and a spirit, right? Now my body, it loves food, amen? And I like being filled with food, amen? Some of you like to only nibble. God have pity on you. I like being full, amen? So there's a part of me that loves to be filled. I have a soul. It loves to be filled too. I love to be loved, amen? I love to love. I love to be around people who want to be around me. There's a part of me that is a vessel that loves this input and investment from others. But there's a part of me that is spiritual. And it needs to be filled too. So you and I are vessels or containers. So when the Bible talks about a body, soul, and spirit, I have a little s of spirit, and that place is where God wants to dwell. He doesn't dwell in this hand. Do you understand? He doesn't dwell really in my emotions. He dwells in my spirit. Now, from the spirit, He can affect my emotions. And He can affect my hands, thankfully. God's Spirit only fills you through His Word. You're not reading your Bible? You ain't ever going to be filled with the Spirit. It's that simple. And if you are reading your Bible and you're not obeying it, guess what? Not doing you no good at all. Amen? Now, the Holy Spirit cannot coexist with willful disobedience. You know, there are things that I do that I didn't know I did. I didn't know wrong. Anybody else been that way? I didn't know I was doing that. You know, God does understand that. But when you do know what's wrong and you continue to do it, you block the work of the Holy Spirit in your life because of one word. Rebellion. Stubbornness. More principles. My spirit is filled with something at all times. Like I said, Marlene, this looks empty, doesn't it? But it's not. What is it filled with right now?
Air.
So me, I am whether I... Well, you know, I don't have any money. I don't have any girlfriends. I don't have a car. I don't have a job. Just because you may not have some possessions doesn't mean that your spirit is not full of something. Right? At that moment, you're full of depression. Amen? Let me show you. To allow the Holy Spirit to fill me, I have to be willing to do whatever it takes to free up room for God's Spirit in my life. And I talked about already the thing called purging, because once I purge, I will be experiencing the work of the Holy Spirit again. Why? Because I'm yielded to it, instead of yielding to my old ways, to my old habits. Let me give you some illustrations of disobedience. When you are unwilling to love your enemy, the Holy Spirit will not fill your heart. Do you understand? If you're unwilling to forgive someone, you're under the judgment of God. God says, I cannot forgive you. When you are unwilling to give up whatever may hinder God in your life, God's Spirit cannot work with you. Is that not what it says in Genesis? God says this. He says, talking about the world before the flood, He said, my spirit will not always strive with man. God says, I get tired of struggling against this people that don't want me. Guess what He ultimately says? I'm giving them 120 years. You're going to build that ark, and in that 120 years, it's over. Because I cannot put up with it. Why do some Christians die early? Because of rebellion, because of stubbornness, because they will not yield. Now, I'll give you an illustration. Continuing on the cup theme. Most Christians, I believe, are less than 10% filled. I believe if you counted the number of hours that they're awake during the day, if you looked at it and just ask yourself, did I even give a tenth of my week to God? No. half-tenth of my money, did I even give a tenth of my week to God? Did I give 10% of my time talking to somebody about the Lord? Did I add up my time in the Bible, my time in prayer, my time soul winning? Did it even add up to 10% of my week time per week? Real convicting. So let's just be generous and let's just say maybe Christians are 10% filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you think the Lord is pleased with that? How high does He want us to be? 50%, right? That'd be good. 50-50, amen? It's a great deal, right? How about 95%? Is that what my goal should be? If you are only 10% filled with the Spirit, here's the bad news. The remainder of your spirit, the remainder of what is supposed to hold the eternal, almighty, omnipotent God in you, is filled with the wrong spirit. If you're not filled with the right spirit, here's the truth, you're going to be filled with the wrong spirit. That doesn't bode very well, because you wonder why most Christians are absolutely a pain to be around. Why? Do you think the Holy Spirit puts that frown on their face? Not according to my Bible. No wonder we find it hard to yield to the Holy Spirit, because every time He tries to work in our life, what do we do to Him? We quench Him. We hold Him down. All I want to give, the rest of it I want with my rock music. The rest of it I want to please me. The rest of my spirit is going to be filled with me and with the world. Now, how to purge your spirit in order that you be filled with the Spirit. Find out what's blocking God's Spirit in your life. You need to listen to your pastor. Like I said this morning, the greatest counseling sessions you will ever have are right here. And it's free. I think this world is going to hell in a handbasket because they're willing to pay thousands of euros when it's free. Right here. It's free. You ought to listen to your pastor. You ought to listen to your wife. Find out what is blocking God's Spirit in your life. You can find out from somebody who knows you. Listen to your enemies. Even your enemies, people who don't like you. You know what? They probably can show you a blind spot in your life. You ought to listen to it. Because if you're more interested in getting revenge back at somebody who's hurting you than you are to listen to them saying, Lord, is this true? There's a great illustration of David who's in a valley situation. Absalom has taken over the throne. And Absalom has taken and robbed David of his kingdom. And while David is running from Absalom and in hiding, there's a guy named Shimei up on the top of the hill and he's chucking rocks at David. Now David's got a great general. He says, let me go up there. Let me kill that dog. And David says, leave him alone. Leave him alone. I probably deserve it. And maybe the Lord will, by him doing that, maybe the Lord will understand that I'm not fighting anymore. I fought and I ignored and I'm not doing more. I will take whatever comes at me now. And he realized that in his kingdom, he had neglected something and it was hurting him and he was now not going to fight it anymore. And it was sweet. You need to listen to your enemies. Because they will reveal what's in your flesh. Secondly, now this is very powerful, you need to realize whatever is blocking the filling of the Holy Spirit in your life is a spirit. Did you get that? It is not your mother. Freud was as wrong as you can be. Your problem is not your teacher who may have given you whelps every week. Your problem is not your teacher. There's a spirit behind that thing. And that spirit transferred to you and you picked up the anger and you're still angry and you're carrying stuff from when you were a kid. It's a spirit. So you need to find out what is blocking God's Spirit in your life and whatever it is, maybe it is a memory, maybe it is the lack of money, maybe it is loneliness, and then you need to decide that thing is a spirit. Little s. Then you need to wrestle with that spirit. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John 4. You're in 1 John 3, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. in verse 1. Amanda, you got that? 1 John 4:1.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are
of God. Alright, so when I have not a person, but maybe a spirit that's influencing me, what should I do with that spirit?
Amen.
According to that verse. Not fight it yet. I need to put it on trial and find out. Listen, the Holy Spirit may be convicting me of sin. I shouldn't fight that spirit, should I?
No.
But if there's a spirit in me that is not of God, I need to test it and find out, because there are a lot of false prophets out there, a lot of false influences that get me to think, hey, that's good when it may not be good. Kind of complicated. I want you to see. Sorry, yes, sir. Could be any number of things. It could be whatever comes into your head or your heart. You need to test. Did this come from God or from the devil? Alright, let's keep going. Look at Ephesians 6:13. You know this verse, but let's see it. Ephesians 6:13. Joseph, can you attempt that for me? Ephesians 6:13. Now I said 6:13, it should be 6:12.
Okay. Are you against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes. So, who am I wrestling? Who am I supposed to what am I supposed to wrestle against? Not flesh and blood. Now, who do we normally spend all our time wrestling against? What do you say, John?
Devil.
Well, ultimately we may be wrestling with God. That's a good point. But ultimately, who am I actually usually fighting? People. Yeah, people. Isn't that right, what you're going to say? Now, when I am fighting with people, I'm fighting against God. Because God says I should fight against a spirit, principality. Go to Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Yes. Casting down imaginations, attitudes. Matthew chapter 8. In verse 16. I want you to see this. Wrestle with whatever spirit is working in your heart. Verse 6, 16. When the even was come, at the end of the day, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits, I love this, with his word. I wonder if that word will work for you. I wonder if you could use the same word to cast out the spirit. Look what it says. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. And I believe he's the only healer, but I think his word can do some major damage to the devil. You need to recognize your struggle is against spirits, and then you need to wrestle with that spirit. Let me tell you about different kind of spirits that there are. Go back to 1 Kings 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Just a little bit more time, but this is invaluable. 1 Kings 22 in verse 19. Brother Tony, you'll read 19, 20, 21 and 22. Four verses, please. 1 Kings 22, 19 to 22.
And he said, "Hear now, therefore, the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at the Ramoth Gilead? And one said on this matter, and another said on that matter. And there came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, Wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit above all his prophets. And he said, Thou shalt persuade him, and prevail also. Go forth and do so."
So what kind of spirit was that at work?
A lying spirit.
Now, I believe the most work the devil does is with lies. He's a liar, and he's the author of it. Amen? So when you start to look around, you need to look around and see if there are any lies you're believing. Go to Ephesians 4. Well, actually, go to Ecclesiastes on your way to Ephesians. Just after Proverbs, Song of Solomon, comes Ecclesiastes. Actually, before Song of Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 9. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 9. There's another spirit you need to be able to pinpoint and go, down boy. Ephesians, we'll go to Ephesians 4 in a minute. Ecclesiastes 7, 9. Dina, you want to try that? Ecclesiastes 7, 9. It's before Isaiah. Before Song of Solomon. After Proverbs. I asked Dina. Go for it. Can you read it, Dina? So what kind of spirit would that be? What would you label that spirit that takes up residence in your bosom, in your heart? It's not just a bad spirit. It actually has spirit of anger. Spirit of anger. Go to Ephesians now. Go to the right. Go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26. Marcus, would you read that? Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. I'm labeling these spirits. See, somebody may say, well, he's just got a bad spirit. Yeah, well, let's put a label on it. There are lying spirits. There are angry spirits. Look at Ephesians 4, 26 and 27, Marcus. Now, anger is one of those opiums that we get addicted to. The moment I start anger, if I don't know how to shut it off, guess who's going to take over and take me for a ride? According to the next verse. The devil. What'd you say? An unclean spirit of anger. So, plenty. I tell you what, in this day and age, plenty of people are driven by an angry spirit. It is wrong. It is wrong. And when my mom used to tell me this, I didn't know what she meant until I had kids. She'd look at me and she said, I'm so angry I can't see straight. I said, what's your problem? Oh boy, that was a bad thing to say. I didn't understand, but I have been where anger wells up and your eyes are, and the chemicals going in your body is like drugs, and you're just fuming, and you just can't even look at them. I think it's time to go for a walk, amen? Yes, sir. You sure can. Get addicted to it. Amen. So, an angry spirit. There's another one. Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10. Brother Kevin. Matthew 10 and verse 1, please. Notice the title of this spirit here. Now, he calls them what? What kind of spirits? Unclean. Now, an unclean spirit is a filthy spirit. And it's a spirit that will affect your mind and your life. What it calls it there in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it calls it a wicked imagination. Unclean. If somebody said they're unclean, what are they saying? I'm dirty. I'm filthy. I'm unhealthy. And the unhealthy thoughts, unhealthy desires, unhealthy, ungodly things that go on inside of our lives are being fueled by the wrong spirit. The Holy Spirit never gives that stuff. I'll show you another one. Look at Leviticus. Back to Leviticus chapter 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 19, verse 31. Brother Dennis, would you mind? Leviticus 19 in verse 31. What's the name of those spirits? What is it? Alright, now, familiar spirit are what these people who read palms, look into crystal balls, check the stars, they have a spirit they're familiar with. And that's of the devil. You don't talk. You know, can you imagine if you're laying in bed and you hear a voice? Great. Yes. Good evening. Hi! How are you tonight? Fine! And you become familiar with a spirit that is talking to you, it is not of God. You know, somebody says, well, it's my angel. I've taught you something about angels. I haven't taught you about angelology and about all the deep things of that stuff. But believe me, if you ever meet an angel, what is the one thing you can know? That you will not know that you met an angel. Amen. So if an angel does appear and talk to you, you can do just like what Martin Luther did. Throw an inkwell at him and say, go back to hell. Because if you ever are talking to a voice that's talking to you, it's a familiar spirit trying to get close to you, trying to get buddy-buddy with you, trying to dominate you. You need to say, get out of here and go to hell, devil. Because it is not of God. Angels don't talk to us. They may interact with us, but you will never know they're an angel. Amen. That's called a familiar spirit. And there are plenty of people who are able to read palms, who are able to see tarot cards, and they have a little voice in the background saying they had a son who died when he was 3 months old. And they say, you had a son who died at 3 months old. How did you know? Nobody knew that. That's a familiar spirit. I'll show you another one. 1 Timothy 4. This is our modern spirit. All those other ones are outdone by this one. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Go ahead. I'll show you. 1 John, it's not that hard. We think it is. We're wrestling with it, but it's not that hard. Look what it says. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Mona. What is the name of those spirits? What are they called?
Seducing spirits.
Is that not the age of the day? That's us. You turn on the television and you're being seduced. You listen to some music and you're being seduced. You can't buy soap without being focused on sex. Do you understand? And there is a spirit behind it. And when your mind is being dominated by thoughts, pornography, by thoughts that are fleshly and by thoughts that are seductive, it's a seducing spirit. Now, it's also trying to teach you not doctrines of God. What are you ultimately going to believe? Well, there's no hell. Ah, sure. The Muslims' God and our God are the same. Those are doctrines of devils. And people believe it because seducing spirits. Did you ever notice those guys who are sitting there playing those things in front of a snake? Do you know that snake can't hear a thing? He's playing that for your benefit. Snakes don't have ears. But you know what's making that snake go? It's that guy. He's charming that snake. And the devil comes along and goes, and he's not talking audibly to you, but man, you're, and you walk like a sheep to the slaughter. That's a seducing spirit. They are powerful spirits. And go to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, I want to show you this. Remember the man? The demon-possessed man of Gadara? He had at least how many spirits in him? You might want to remind me? a legion, and there were, see, we know that there were at least 2,000. Why? Luke chapter 8. The pigs. There were 2,000 pigs that these demons went into. I mean, Bill, have you opened up that hive? Yeah. Now, Bill's got a beehive. And I'm sure years ago he thought it was just a few bees. He since found out one day he probably opened up the hive and there are millions in there. They smell your blood from a mile away. But I'm telling you, sick him. If you could spiritually open up that demon-possessed man of Gadara, you would have seen an infestation of 2,000 demons. I want you to see that probably you're not just fighting a lying spirit, an angry spirit, seductive spirit, a familiar spirit. You're probably dealing with dozens of them. Look at Mary Magdalene. Luke chapter 8 and verse 2. Luke 8 in verse 2. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. So sometimes you get spiritual healing, sometimes you get physical healings from the Lord. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. She had 7 spirits in her. Amen. Folks, you need to understand, you may be struggling against more than just one. Now, the way you wrestle with that spirit, and your goal is to cast it down. You need to wrestle with that spirit in prayer and by the sword of the Spirit. It's like taking a scouring brush and scrubbing out the filth in a cup so that it can be filled with something hot and good to drink. Amen? And the only thing that will cut the devil and make him run is what? The Word of God. I can remind the devil about the blood of Jesus Christ. I can remind the devil about his eternity in hell and in the lake of fire. I can remind the devil that I'm bought with a price and I can glorify God not only in my spirit, but I can glorify Him in my flesh. He has no part of somebody who's yielded to the Holy Spirit. You know what that does? The truth hurts the devil. Desperately. Desperately. You need to wrestle with the Word and in prayer. Cast it down. You need to dethrone it. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Say again? If it's strong, you better have some strong verses. Okay? You just don't quote, Jesus wept. Jesus wept, Jesus wept, Jesus wept to the devil. That it has to be appropriate. And the longer I go in in my Christian walk, the more I'm trying to find stronger verses. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. Go to verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You can't use your hands. You can't use your feet. You can't use things like, if you got into a battle, you would use hands and guns and knives and tanks and airplanes. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are, aren't you glad, mighty through God to the pulling down of, underline the next word, what is it? All right, does the devil want to let go? Yes or no? So when the devil does work in you and me, he intends to stay. That's why he sets up a stronghold. And if he sets up a stronghold, he intends to rule and reign and control. Why? You ever, you're driving down the road, and you see this, it's not a castle, but it's this old ancient ruin of a what do they call it? A blockhouse? What do they used to call it? But you know what that thing was? Huh? No, it was more than that. When you had a landowner, and he covered 10,000 acres, you know these guys were so wealthy back there, or 500,000 acres or whatever, he may have a castle in one place, but you know, in order to maintain control, he would set up smaller garrison places where he would stay, where he would store food and have a garrison of horses and soldiers, and he would place them all around so that if there was any kind of trouble, he already was there and he could fight it and he could fend off his attackers. And the devil comes into your head, into your heart, into your life, and he sets up one stronghold, but believe me, he does not want to satisfy with just one. He will set up, what does the word say? Strongholds. He will set up in every area. area of your thought life a grip on you so that you're not free. And it's just nice to dethrone the devil. And you're going to have to get to where you can believe that you can dethrone him. And listen to these words. James chapter 5. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's a great promise, but there's one thing we're going to learn next week. We'll learn about things that block us right now. But submit yourself therefore to God. Then you'll be able to, and you've got to believe that you can resist the devil and that stronghold will collapse. Isn't that wonderful? You have to believe that. You don't have to believe that you have strength in you. You just have to believe that the closer you are to the Lord, the quicker the devil leaves. So, you're going to cast it down. Why does it say casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself? Why does it say cast it down? Where is it? Mona, where does the devil want to sit in my life? If I'm casting him down, I want you to see what the devil wants without giving you the answer. What does he want to be seen as in my life? Let me tell you, even as a Christian. As my Lord, or as the God of my life. And that's why he appears as an angel of light. That's why he does good things for me for a while. You know what I need to do? I need to dethrone him. Let's just imagine the devil sitting right here, right now, and he's spitting angry at the fact that we're here. And he's working on careful few different people, getting us mad at each other, getting us upset at each other, getting us to think about, well, I just gotta quit. I just don't like him. You know what we do? We would jump up and we'd say, get off of that throne and get out of here. Amen. I think I told you about an illustration I did with kids in my junior church class, which was like Sunday school. But instead of taking kids from Sunday school and moving them right into church, well, we had Sunday school first and then had church afterwards. But we had so many kids, we decided to have a junior church where I preached in. One day I taught them about salvation using Charlie. Charlie was this about foot and a half tall guy that I made out of paper. And I got one guy, Keith Kruger, he was going to be the Lord. And I was going to be the devil. I love playing the devil. And we got a rope. And I put Charlie in the middle. And I taught the kids about salvation how Charlie needs you to pull for him. We all talk about pulling for one another, you know, helping one another and stuff. And I says, do you understand Charlie does not know that I'm real? He doesn't know if he can even believe in Jesus. But the two of us are pulling on Charlie. But guess who is going to win? Guess, and I started to pull Charlie towards him. Because Charlie doesn't know I want to kill him. He wants to have the fun. He wants to go to the cinema. He wants to have everything everybody else has. And I'm just luring him to where? To hell. And as I'm pulling, I'm... Come on, Charlie. You're almost mine. One of those kids jumped up and said, let's get him! And I mean, they got on the other side. Now, Jesus, Keith just was sitting there letting it go. Because Charlie didn't have the wherewithal to know, I need to get to Jesus. So half of them got over there and began to pull. And the other half just knocked me out. You know what that is? That is what we've got to do. When the devil begins to try to set up those strongholds, we got to believe. Let's get him! Amen? We got to believe it. Let's get him. Cast it down. Then you need to throw everything out that doesn't belong. I know I'm taking you for a long time, but let me finish this real quickly. Let's go to 2 Kings 23. Very quickly, 2 Kings. In your Old Testament.
Second Kings, chapter 23, in verse 4. Bill, can you read that? Second Kings 23 and verse 4.
And the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order, and the keepers of the door, to bring forth out of the temple of the Lord all the vessels that were made for Baal, and for the grove, and for all the hosts of heaven. And he burned them without Jerusalem in the field of Kidron, and carried the ashes of them.
Now what were the idols, the images? What was all this stuff? Where was it? Where was it being kept at that time?
In the temple.
And the king said to the high priest, and the high priest had let all that filth into the house of the Lord. And the king says, get it out. Dump it, make a bonfire out of it. Amen. And then take the ashes, don't even let the ashes blow back in. Take the ashes and run them to Bethel and dump them over there. You know what we need to do? When we do dethrone the devil, when we wrestle against these spirits, you're going to have to put some distance between you and that spirit. Do you understand? Is not my body the temple? And so if there's something, we have an illustration here of the temple needing to be purged, cleared out so that God could once again fill it up. Throw everything out. There's too many verses. I won't go there. In Acts chapter 19, it says this. They brought, the people of Ephesus, when they got saved, they brought all their books on sorcery. They brought all their books on charming. They brought all their books on spirits and stuff like that. You know what they did? They brought it and made a big bonfire and they burned it. And they said 50,000 pieces of silver were. It was a huge fortune in just books. Burned. Why are they doing that? Because there is, if you're still keeping your old rock records, even though you're saved and you don't listen to them very often, if you still keep them, there is a bridge there back to your old life all the time. It's time for you to break that bridge. It's time for you to burn it out. If you cleaned out your life and you dumped it, go ahead and finish the job. Burn. Get rid of it. When you cast it down, you need to throw it out. You need to throw it out. You need to, in your mind, throw it out, and then you replace it. Look, you and me are like this cup. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Here are the steps that you take in order to fill up your life every single day. First of all, you're going to have to replace every spirit that you used to constantly be dominated by and replace it with, what does the Bible say? Men ought always to pray. Learn to pray. If you're an angry person, if you're a depressed person, every time you start to feel depressed, what should you do? Pray. Every time you get angry, what should you do? Pray. Every time you get covetous, what should you do? Pray. Replace that spirit with prayer, and all of a sudden, you'll be filled. Just a bit. You need to replace any spirit, anything the devil ever did to you, you know what he did? He hurt you. And if he hurts you, you're going to have the only way to fix that thing is one word, five letters, praise. Praise. Because what praise will do is the Lord, what does it say? He inhabited. He fills the praises of his people. Next time you just don't feel like it, as you ought to do, go ahead and thank him anyway. Third thing you need to do, you need to spend time with God's people. What is it that first thing many people think when they're down? I don't want to go to church. Where'd they get that thought from? A lying spirit. I just don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like going to RU. I don't want to listen to him again. You need to wrestle that spirit, realize that spirit. You need God's people. You need to be in church. I'm not sitting here whistling Dixie, just having a little get-together just for fun. This is no social club. This is serious business. Amen? And if you want to be filled with the Spirit, I'll tell you, you're going to have to get along with God. Another way to get real forward is to pursue God's will. Pursue God's will. You ever ask the Holy Spirit? Ever ask God, what is it you want me to do? Isn't that what Saul prayed as soon as he got saved? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? I guarantee you, he prayed that every day of his life. I guarantee you. That's why he was probably one of the greatest Christians ever lived. Because he always was pursuing God's will. What do you want me to go, Lord? What do you want me to do? Do you want me to go here? There was one time there in Acts chapter 18 or 16. He was always on the go. He was finished up starting the church somewhere. And he said, let's go to Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, no. Well, let's go to Bithynia. And the Holy Spirit said, no. And while he's wondering, well, where do you want me to go? The Lord said, come over here and help us over in Troas, up in Greece, and he headed up into Europe. That is part of the filling of the Holy Spirit, is if you're trying to find his will for your life. One last thing. you got to ponder God's word. Five P's. Prayer, praise. God's people, pursue God's word, God's will, and ponder God's word. You know what? If you do those five things tomorrow morning and throughout the day, there'll be no room for unclean spirits. Amen. Now, if you, by tomorrow afternoon, 3 o'clock, are filled with the devil, I'll give you one guess, probably what you didn't do. You didn't do any of that. And you got nobody to blame.
And you got to tell,
but you said, ooh, you. Let's take this time for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, we looked at an amazing truth tonight. A lot of concepts. What a challenge, Lord. And what a battle. God, forgive us. We are not prepared for it. We're easy targets. I guess one of the greatest revelations, I hope we all want to, or should go away with, is that you want to fill us. And that it is easy to be filled with the Spirit. Our struggle is, we stay the same way we are. We don't ever purge. We hold on to, we cling to things that just block you and stop you. I am ashamed, Lord, of how much that is true in my life. Now I pray, God, that you would take these truths and let us realize we can be filled with the Spirit. It's not an impossible thing. This isn't a lofty thing over a few incredibly spiritual people. It is for all believers. It is a command that can be obeyed. Really, is a command that must be obeyed. I pray that tomorrow, there'll be 45 people filled with the Spirit. Jobs, schools, in their homes, with their neighbors, on the phone, everything that we're doing, we'll be in the Spirit. We'll be strong. And there'll be no place for the devil. Make no provision for. Give not place to the devil. Isn't that wonderful, Lord? You give us the opportunity to just squeeze him out. May we do that because of your word tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I kept you long. We'll just be finished with that. God bless you all. Amen. Also, by the way, if I can tell you, I got a stack of cards, the prayer cards from Evan Williams. If you don't have one of his prayer cards to keep at the home to remember him and his wife in prayer and to raise his support, I have a pile of them if you'd like one.
Very well, and you?
Are you lonesome?
Oh, sure.
Oh, poor old Billy.
Yeah. Terrible, isn't it?
Terrible.
And then she abandons me like that, you know?
Disgraceful.